Well, Mary and I had a good vacation. We relaxed with family for a few days. For a little over a week, we traveled to the deep south to a number of sites significant to the civil rights movement of the 1960s. We drove to Little Rock, Memphis, Montgomery, and Birmingham, Atlanta. We'd love to talk about what we saw and experienced, but first I want to tell you a little bit about what we ate. So as we headed into Birmingham, Alabama, Mary was doing some online searches, and she came across great reviews for a restaurant not too far from our hotel, a place called Dale's Southern Grill. Dale's was praised for its home-cooked versions of traditional Southern favorites. And so the first night, yes, we went two nights in a row. The first night, I had grilled meatloaf with cheesy grits. Mary had pecan roasted chicken with fried green tomatoes. For side dishes, Dale's offers 37 options, including mac and cheese, turnip greens, okra, and their carrot souffle was unbelievable. And all their recipes are on their website. The peach cobbler a la mode was a showstopper both nights. And you get bread. Oh, not just bread, though. You have your choice of fresh baked yeast roll or a fluffy biscuit, traditional cornbread or jalapeno cornbread, or their most popular choice, according to our cute as a button Southern Belle server named Sarah, their most popular bread choice was their homemade raisin bran muffin. One place, five breads. Sort of a United Nations of bread. Bread is one of the most common foods around the world. As we often see here on World Communion Sunday, breads come in many forms and shapes and colors, from white pita bread or Indian naan to yellow corn tortillas to dark rye or pumpernickel. Loaves round or oblong, crusty or soft, puffy or flat, of wheat or corn or barley or other grains. And I mentioned Dale's and their breads this morning because in today's gospel reading, bread was a metaphor that Jesus used to describe himself. Not bread as in money, not bread as in daily bread for the stomach to power one's muscles and nerves. Jesus said we should see him as what he called the bread of life. What would that mean? Let me come back to that in a moment. You see, earlier in that same chapter from John's Gospel, Jesus had provided a miraculous picnic, feeding 5,000 people, even though he had at his disposal only five loaves of barley bread and two dried fish. The Bible states that the crowd ate as much as they wanted, and there was so much bread left over that each disciple gathered up a basketful of bread scraps. I think we'd all agree that laying out such a miraculous meal, was a miracle, a miraculous event. But while that crowd had been filled, the crowd wasn't satisfied. The crowd wanted more. They wanted Jesus to do it again. They wanted him to prove that he was deserving of their desire to appoint him as their king. And so the crowd told Jesus to perform a miracle that would convince them that they should follow him. After all, they said, our ancestors ate manna in the desert. And they were, of course, referring to the story we just heard from Exodus chapter 16, in which God fed the wandering Israelites by covering the desert with something akin to a thin pizza crust. So the day after Jesus had fed 5,000 people, the crowd asked Jesus to perform a miracle. Now, of course, the irony is obvious to us. They want a miracle to prove that Jesus is worth trusting, and yet, isn't that exactly what Jesus had just done? Jesus just fed them and their 5,000 friends, even though he started off with 5 loaves and 2 fish. But that's what they asked for, was a miracle. In fact, the people actually made 2 requests. Before they asked Jesus for the miracle, they had asked, what can we do in order to do what God wants us to do? And then the reason they asked for Jesus to perform another miracle was because of how Jesus had answered that first question. When they asked Jesus, what can we do? Jesus didn't tell them to do anything. He didn't rattle off a list of religious rituals to perform or a list of charitable gifts to offer. Jesus urged simply, what God wants you to do is to believe in the one God sent. Now, the crowd had witnessed his miraculous power. They experienced it. So how is it possible that that didn't change them? How could they miss what God was doing right in their midst? Which I think prompts us to ask ourselves, in our own lives, what obvious signs of God's power and presence are we completely missing, overlooking? I mean, despite numerous conflicts raging in the world, God's power also holds at peace tribal and nationalistic adversaries that otherwise might lash out at each other. For some, we are overlooking the God-given power simply to get out of bed and face the day, whether that day is always accompanied by chronic pain, or each day is marred by neglect from people who should care, or it's yet another day of sadness, even hopelessness. The remnant of grief for the loss of loved ones, yes. We might be overlooking the blessing of just being able to face each day. And perhaps we're overlooking the blessing of our ability to determine, to a very large degree, the grand path of our education and then career. Perhaps we're overlooking the privilege that many enjoy, the privilege of living in a society giving us liberty to pursue and express our individuality and to determine the kind of family life we would like to craft. And perhaps a particularly stunning sunset or a ferocious storm causes us to become keenly aware of the beauty and majesty of nature for a moment. But how often do we overlook God's hand in the ordinary, such as the agile sparrow at the bird feeder, or the canopy of stars forever watching from above? What might we have missed because we regarded God so casually? We've overlooked the simple truth that God has come to us in Jesus, the bread of life. God invites us to accept Jesus completely. God awaits our welcoming Jesus as partner in our living. When we put our life's trust in God through Jesus the Son, we have not just what nourishes our bodies or calms our nerves or gives us the courage to face difficulty. In Jesus, God gives us the bread that feeds all of life, body and soul, in every circumstance we experience, today and always. How are we to respond? I mean, that Galilean crowd cried for yet another miracle. They asked for step-by-step instructions in hopes that they could make themselves more likable somehow to God. But Jesus told them, and Jesus tells us today, don't worry so much about what to do. Focus on who to believe in. Jesus urges us to believe in Him, to put our trust in Him, so we'll realize how God fills our lives with God's strength, God's comfort, God's blessing.